All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this fellowship time together tonight. I ask for your anointing, Lord, again, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us into that sanctification, something that sometimes is painful, but, Lord, we know it has to be done, and we rejoice afterwards when we overcome. And we wondered why we didn't go through that before and overcome. But, Lord, we know that it's a trial. It's our tribulations that we're going through before the great tribulation comes up in front of us, so that we can help other people when they come in, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just praise you and glorify you for all that's accomplished tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers. And thank you for all the praise reports. And we thank you that Marlon is healed. And everybody else is healed that we've been praying for. Bruce and all of them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request?
Yeah. Hey, Michael.
Hey,
everyone. Our daughter, who's up in Illinois, is moving to Florida in June or so, and they haven't sold their house back up there yet, and so they're asking for prayer because it would, you know, put a financial strain on them if they have to have both places going at the same time. So they've been trying to sell it for, I don't know, a couple months now, but hasn't happened yet. So, Lord, would you pray right now that you would bless them, Lord, with the sale of the house? You would send someone, Lord. I pray you would send someone that would give them a full price or close to it, Lord. They wouldn't have to hold back and just direct them in their move down there, God. We just thank you, Father. And when they're down there, especially, Lord, that they would find the right church that be involved with, God. And just bless them, Lord. We thank you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That house is sold. Amen. You're going to send somebody in the next couple of days. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? I see a wild cat walking across the screen there. Good gracious. Aren't y'all scared? It's one of them African cats. Chew your leg off. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, or need prayer? Go ahead, Chad.
Dave, the Lord has connected me with a brother over here who's he functions as a prophet, and he's got a ministry over in Pakistan that right now he does mainly through the internet. Now, he's an 87-year-old guy, and you know, the Lord called him from his childhood as a prophet and took him through a long process of work and submission in him, and I've been getting to know him since last year, and you know, I didn't really have a honestly, I didn't have a heart for any ministry to the Pakistani people and the people over there in the Middle East from the time we met or when we first started getting to know each other. But as I've been just, you know, learning to humble myself more and more and really see where he's coming from and how different and varied the different, you know, functions of the office callings are in the body, I've really gotten to know him and respect him and honor him as you know, as my brother in Christ and as the calling God has put on his life. When he preaches over the internet and prays, they have, you know, they'll have anywhere from several hundred to I don't know, maybe up to 1,000 people or more gather at these meetings. And these are all unreached villages over in Pakistan. And a lot of times just while he's preaching over the internet, demons will get cast out of people in the meetings, and people will miraculously get healed. And Jesus just shows up and does all the work while this brother, his name is Ron, old brother Ron, he gets on there and just, you know, does what the Lord tells him. And then Jesus shows up and does all the work. And so I feel like the Lord has really connected our hearts, and I've been getting a burden. I've been really starting to share in the burden for these people, and he's sharing how it's been getting so hot over there. You know, they'll come together and they'll meet, but then sometimes it'll get so hot the electricity will go out after like 10 minutes, you know, and then they don't have the microphones that they need and the speakers to for the preaching to come through anymore. Or sometimes the Lord will have them watch the Jesus film, or mainly right now it's either Ron preaching or they'll watch the Jesus film, you know, whatever the Lord leads. But anyway, the power goes out and the people will, kind of dissemble, and then things will kind of fall apart. I don't know if I should say fall apart, but just not quite work out real good sometimes. And there's a great financial need. And so Ron was talking with the brother over there who is in charge of that end of the people meeting in these villages, in these unreached villages, for this evangelistic outreach. And he is talking about not coming together anymore, not assembling themselves anymore after the people get saved and healed and delivered and all this stuff. So Ron was sharing this burden with me today. And I've been real slowly, encouraging him in the faith. I've been sharing testimonies, from different UBM brothers and sisters, as well as in my own walk, about the walk of faith. And, I've been doing it, I've been careful to do it very respectfully and very, just very much in a way where he can receive that. And so there's a little bit of conflict. And I think part of it is just me learning how to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and communicating these things to him. And then, through a lot of prayer. Pray that he could receive, like I shared today about the Lord. You know, we could come together and we could pray and agree, and the Lord could, you know, miraculously maybe send the cool breeze through the, you know, through the tent, or give the people grace to endure the heat because it gets so hot over there. You know, I was thinking on how hot it feels here in Oregon at times. You know, the temperature will show 65 degrees, but because of what's going on with the sun, it feels like 90. You know, when the sun comes out, a lot of times. Just because of what's going on in the atmosphere and things that, a lot of us on here know about that are going on in this solar system and so on and so forth. So I can just imagine how hot it must be getting over there. So anyway, my prayer request is that we would just pray and agree, you know, for Ron. And if you'd pray for me, that the Lord will really give me wisdom as I share in the burden that the Lord has given him for the people over there, and you know, all the needs, that we could really enter into a place of agreement and prayer and see the Lord move powerfully. I encouraged Ron and asked him, if he'd be willing to. I said, I'll be willing to get together with you, during the week if you want. We can pray together and seek the Lord about these things. And his standpoint right now is that he just hears from the Lord. He said, I just need to hear from the Lord, and then the Lord moves. The Lord just speaks, and whatever the Lord speaks, Ron obeys, and he sees the Lord move, powerfully in many ways. And I don't really know 100% how to proceed from here, except to keep connecting with him, which the Lord is doing, and to pray and, do spiritual warfare as the Lord leads. But I just like to be able to really encourage Ron in growing in, the faith, however the Lord wants to do that, so that we can cast these burdens before the Lord and see the Lord move mightily over there, which he is. And he's, a lot of people are getting saved. They get out anywhere from 100 to 200 people saved at every meeting in these unreached villages over there. And the Lord, you know, he was ready to go home and be with the Lord. Ron was back in 2016, but the Lord told him, no, you're just getting ready to get started. And so the Lord has recharged his ministry and given him a great vision, and he's doing wonderful things. So if anyone feels led, please keep Ron in prayer and me in prayer that God can have his way here. I just want to, you know, be very humble. I respect him as an older brother in the Lord in that sense. And he's very, being that he's elderly, I want to be very humble and be very, very careful how I come across. And the Lord's been helping me to do that. You know, I just do a lot of listening and I'm doing my very best to not say anything unless the Holy Spirit really leads. So I guess, a great sensitivity to the leading of the Spirit. And then I can just be quiet and cooperate with him, you know, be a part of being a blessing and a help to Ron and his ministry. So I think I covered it pretty good here. So I just appreciate your prayers and agreement.
Okay. Chad, do you want to go ahead and pray and let us believe with you?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay.
Well, Lord, Father, I praise you. I just glorify you for the wonderful work, Lord, that you've been doing in my heart. I'm just amazed that, Lord, that you can use me at all. And I'm so thankful you brought me to a much greater place of humility, Lord, and that you're helping me to go forward, Lord, and rely and lean on you in such a way that I know it's got to be all you, Lord. And I thank you for connecting me with Brother Ron, Lord. I thank you for the ministry you've given him. And Lord, my heart's desire is just to be a blessing to him, to continue to be a blessing to him, Lord. And that, Lord, if you somehow would, I pray that you would just continue to purify the faith, Lord, that you've given Ron. I know he's got a very pure faith in the area that he walks in. He's got a lot of humility, Lord, and I thank you that you're using him mightily. But if you would, Lord, I pray that you would use, just speak through me, or even if you just want to pray and intercede through me, Lord, however you want, I pray that you would increase and strengthen Ron's ministry, Lord, that you would strengthen his faith, that you would give him bold faith to begin believing for things and thinking in ways that he just hasn't before, Lord. I pray that you would expand his horizons, Father. And when these burdens come upon him, Lord, I pray that you would expand his territory of prayer, Lord. I know he's very very mature and got a great anointing when it comes to praying, if he's always been led, Lord. And I pray if you'd expand that horizon, Lord, and show him new realms of faith and being able to pray and intercede and agree and command things, Lord, that he would begin to see he'd begin to see miracles that are beyond what he's seen so far and even more than what he has imagined, Lord. I just pray that you would give me the grace to be very, very sensitive to your Spirit, Lord, to prefer Ron as my brother in Christ, and to respect the office, Lord, that you've given him, not to know him after the flesh or see him at all after the flesh, Lord, but to honor you and him, to honor Christ in him, and to encourage that, Lord, to encourage that that harvest you've worked in him already, that it would grow and that it would expand, Lord, and that you would really be lifted up and glorified a much greater way through Ron, that he'd be a blessing, Lord, to the leader over there, to the Pakistani people, Lord, and throughout these villages, and that these people would be blessed, Lord, in greater and greater ways, that those who are coming into the kingdom, Lord, would be strengthened and find the grace and the faith and the ability to be able to continue coming together, Lord. We pray and we bind up right now, just bind up the works of Satan to try to discourage that brother over there from meeting anymore, from coming together and assembling themselves together. As Ron told him, you can't do that. You need to assemble yourselves together. But I bind up those spirits of discouragement coming against this brother, and I break your power against him in Jesus' name. We forbid your power against him any longer. And we bind up any spirits of faction coming against him, any spirits of discord and just spirits of witchcraft coming against him. And we break your power and forbid your power against him in Jesus' name. And We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen this brother in the faith and give him the grace to hear from you, Lord, and to receive the wisdom and the strength and the grace to know your will and to allow you to carry out your will through him and doing his part and leading up the outreaches over there, Lord, and the assembling of the saints over there, Lord, so that those who are coming into a saving knowledge of the truth would be nourished and taken care of and fed in the things of the Spirit, Lord. And just pray for a hedge of protection around Ron, Lord. I thank you for the healings you've worked in his body recently. Lord, I pray that you would continue that work and that you would continue to strengthen Ron to fulfill and carry out to the full the work that you have for him to do yet, Lord. And just use me however you want, Lord. Just help me to be humble and sensitive to your Spirit so I don't get in the way, that I just allow you to have your way, Lord, no more and no less. And I thank you for it. Father, I pray that you would keep a hedge of protection about the relationship that you forged between Ron and myself. And Lord, I thought of sharing some of the books and the wonderful teachings, Lord, I've been so blessed with through UBM. And I pray that you'd just help me to be very, very sensitive, whether you want me to do that or whether you just want to speak through me. You know, maybe a thing or two here and there, just enough to plant faith or however you want to do it, Lord. Help me to be ultra sensitive to your Spirit and have your way and be glorified, Father, in all these situations. In Jesus' name, lift up your name in this, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Chad, and we know that he's going to be able to share here shortly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. All right. Leon, did you have something?
No.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay. All right.
I just want that open so in case I want to talk.
Oh, okay. But you know how to raise your hand?
Actually, you can mute me because the program told me how I can unmute myself.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good deal. You know how to raise your hand? I think there's something on there. I don't know. Does anybody know how to raise your hand on a phone?
Yes, 09.
09?
09.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
It's star 9.
Star 9, yes.
Star 9.
Star 9, okay.
Mine is star 6, so I guess if star 9 doesn't work, then...
star 6 is mute and unmute, isn't it?
Mute and unmute.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's mute and unmute. I'm sorry, you're talking about something else, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
You can mute me now.
All right. Okay, anyone else? Testimony or praise report? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, buddy.
All right. Well, I've got two, actually. So I've kind of, you know, I got one for myself, you know, if you guys pray for me. And another one it's about a couple weeks old, and something we need to, I think we should pray against. And, let me start with that first. I think I used to be real big into politics and stuff. And I know you, Michael, have shared things and, you know, from time to time. So I know we're not totally against the idea of it, but, I don't know how many of you guys who here lives in California, Chad, you know, you're from Oregon, so I guess you're the closest out there. But I think this, I like to do my own, own research or just look at what some people who are saying things are saying. You know, and right now out there, I mean, if you know, I guess if you have an idea what's going on in America, California is a place where it just seems like, I mean, you know, all the evil that is just kind of concentrated in that area, you know, in that state, in the homosexual lobby lately, they're trying to push a bill through the state legislature to ultimately just ban the Bible. Their whole reasoning behind it is, there's this practice called, you know, conversion therapy, you know, that I guess pastors and other, you know, Christian, I mean, counselors or those who are helping those who want to leave the homosexual lifestyle, you know, I guess they're using this process. And so, you know, they're saying, hey, you know, if we can ban the Bible, you know, we can, we can, you know, eliminate this. Because, you know, of course, what the whole argument is, they believe homosexuality, you know, you're born with it. It's not something you can overcome. And so, I mean, of course, there are, you know, there's just many testimonies out there, you know, about people coming out of the lifestyle. So, I mean, what they're trying to do is just ban the Bible. I think ban the sale of, you know, Bibles or, you know, materials that would help somebody who is, you know, who is ready to come out of this lifestyle of you know, homosexuality. You know, I mean, they're trying to just basically cut that off, you know, and this is basically, you know, of course, geared towards, you know, Christians ultimately, you know, as we know. So let's definitely pray against that. I haven't heard any updates. I mean, I saw a couple of videos on YouTube, which is about 2 to 3 weeks ago, you know, so I don't know any updates if it's passed there, but, you know, let's pray against that. Cause I think that's something that could, you know, I mean, of course, you know, in the times ahead, it will become on a greater scale, but, let's cut that off at the knees, most of all. And, you know, just wanted to, you know, ask for prayer for myself or just say thank you last week, you know, kind of as Chad said, Chad, you know, you hit the nail on the head last week Tuesday when you said, yeah, the Lord's doing a deep work in me. And so, you know, yeah, all the demons and everything was telling me to kind of turn the other way and run. You know, I mean, it was a very uncomfortable kind of time last Tuesday, but just, yeah, the last week maybe or so. I mean, you know, the Lord is, yeah, he is trying to do a deep work in me. And, you know, I think the demons have always, you know, I mean, have made it more uncomfortable for me. So, you know, thank you all for who did pray last Tuesday, but just keep praying for me because I think the Lord is, lately he is, you know, revealing some of those attitudes. I think one of them at the root is, you know, I guess of unbelief, you know, it has to do with just the abusive past I've endured. I have questioned from time to time, you know, God, why do you want to use me? You know, I mean, just little old me, little old Joe DeBrosi here in Ohio, I'm not really doing anything for you. You know, I mean, I don't have a ministry of my own. I don't really, you know, I guess you could say I'm not really doing anything that I know for you. So, you know, there's almost this, I mean, well, I don't know if that's rooted in you know, unbelief or, I mean, you know, it sounds like rejection. So I think it's almost, I mean, the thing that comes to mind is the, you know, unbelief. I don't really think you want to use me or you can use me because, you know, what I've been through or, you know, there's a lot of, I think even, you know, there's those religious spirits that you, Dave, and you, Michael, I think it was last week or the week before, talked about, you know, just this, we always got to do something. You know, we always got to be doing something. Always got to be just like Martha, running around. We got to be busy. We got to be working. You know, we got to do something. And I see a lot of that in me. And so I think with whatever other spirits, it says, well, you know, I figure God doesn't want to use me. You know, he don't want to have much to do with me because I'm not doing something. You know, like the religious apostate community out there always says, we need to be doing something. You know, we always need to be sharing our faith. And we always need to be, I mean, doing, you know, the just, you know, works in general. So it's a lot of that lately. You know, I'm not sure how exactly it is connected, but, you know, yeah, there's a lot of that. God is dealing with that in me, you know, because I mean, the more I hear about faith, you know, and I've been hearing about works lately, how like faith and works are, you know, connected. But, you know, I think just those religious spirits and just those teachings I have picked up over the last so many years of just kind of going from church to church, you know, is what it was. I mean, I went from church to church just looking for love. You know, I guess you could say looking for love in all the wrong places and whatever religious teachings or whatever spirits I picked up. You know, yeah, I mean, I'm starting to see a theme kind of in all of them. You know, yeah, we need to stay busy for the Lord. You know, we need to be working for the Lord. And just like, you know, as you were saying, Dave, you know, Martha and Mary, you know, I mean, I still find myself wanting to be just like Mary. You know, I want to get along with the Lord. I want to get, you know, back to that. I mean, I had a sense of, you know, intimacy with the Lord there for about a year and a half, two years before I came into the teachings, you know, here at UBM. And I would love to get back to that. I mean, you know, in due time, as I continue to grow, you know, I believe I will get there, but it's, You know, I mean, you know, that's a major desire, because I mean, I came out of some really just, you know, some really dark times. And I think, you know, when I really came to where God could, you know, get my attention and begin to, you know, do his work in me that he's been doing, there was a, I mean, there was a major level of intimacy. I remember hearing just, you know, hearing his voice from time to time. And, you know, he would really speak to me in his word. And I've been, I mean, I've been dry lately, you know, and I think that's just being, you know, distracted. You know, the things of the world, the idols in my heart keep me distracted, keep me from getting in the word. Or when I'm in the word, you know, it's not, my mind wanders. You know, mentally I've always had, you know, just struggles and strongholds there. And it's, my mind just runs off somewhere else. You know, I'll be thinking about what I got to do that day, or I'll be thinking about some of my struggles and problems. And it's hard just to sit and read what's on the page. You know, read what it is and let it, you know, just let it soak in. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of that stuff lately with me. You know, it seems like it's all just kind of coming in at once and, you know, hitting me at once, and it becomes overwhelming at times. So, you know, I mean, thank you to whoever, Chad, you know, Angelica, I don't see her here, but others, you know, who just continue to pray, I guess, most of all, that I would be more willing to, like, you know, like it was a couple years ago, because I think in that time I had that just great level of intimacy with the Lord, and I mean, I saw him, you know, work in a major way, or I saw him show himself in my life in a major way. Help me to get back to that, you know, to be willing to suffer whatever it takes to get back to that. Because I mean, you know, a lot of times when you've been stuck in the world, you've been out there in, you know, Babylon, you've been in those churches, it's very uncomfortable getting to that point to where the Lord wants you. You know, all the demons, your flesh, everything, you know, it's saying run, saying turn the other way, do an about face and run. You don't want to go towards that stuff. So it's, I think most of all, just pray for me that I would have a, you know, I mean, have that desire most of all back, a greater desire, but a willingness to just kind of, you know, sit in the fire, as a, you know, so to speak, just sit and just get back to where I was. Because I mean, yeah, I really began to see, you know, God began to just reveal some things to, you know, in his word. I would just sit at times and just read, just sit, you know, meditate and look over it, and all of a sudden something would just jump out at me. And, you know, I never had that before. And I mean, I desire to kind of have that intimacy back. But just have that quiet time, because that's basically what it was. I mean, being alone in my apartment, reading my Bible or listening to good teachings, and just letting the Lord speak to me. You know, I mean, I want that back most of all, because I think in the times ahead, that's going to be instrumental. I mean, you know, of course we know that's going to be key. You know, having that quiet time and hearing from him, being strengthened, you know, and all that. And if, I mean, we don't have that, it's going to be a major struggle. So. Yeah. So.
Amen.
Amen. So.
I was looking for something here. Hey.
Okay.
All you have to do, what God's doing now, Joe, is getting people ready.
Yep.
Not necessarily doing ministry work as allowing the Lord to sanctify you and to get holiness in. The work will come later. He has to get us ready for the work before we can do the work. And that's what I feel like he's doing with most everybody that's seeking the Lord. And I understand where you know, we want to put our hands on something and do something. That's the flesh. But I believe the Lord, as you said, wants us to get in the closet with him and allow him to work in our life, you know, and to sanctify us and to create a relationship with him where we understand and we can hear the still small voice of the Lord in these matters that are so, like Chad was talking about earlier, are so needed in the body of Christ. Sometimes we just like to jump out there and do something. You know, I've done this, I've done that. I always remember what Howard Pittman said when he went to up before the Lord when he died. Howard Pittman was a Baptist preacher. Okay. Built a bunch of buildings in his church program, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And the angels told him, they said, your lot now is hell because you haven't borne any fruit. And the fruit that, of course, that the Lord is looking for is Jesus Christ in us. Yeah. And God was gracious enough to send him back to give the message out that the Baptist way is not the way, you know. Yeah. It's God's way. That's the way. And so that's what he's doing now. He's getting us all ready. Yeah. You know, we go along, and as long as we're going forward, we're accounted righteous, you know, and that's what he wants. He just wants us to keep our eyes focused on him and to pray and to believe. That believe, we have to have faith. And the only way to get faith is reading and studying the Word of God. And I know sometimes it's a discipline thing to begin with. We just have to discipline ourselves to get into the Word. And after a while, we ask the Lord, you know, all this time we're asking the Lord, Lord, put a hunger in me for the Word. Show me these new revelations. And then you start doing it a little bit here, a little bit there. And then after a while, you get in it like we have been doing here. Just like we've been doing here in the conference call with Psalms 37. And we're fixing to get into, 140, I believe. And it's the things that the Holy Spirit shows us. And that's listening to the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. So don't anybody get stressed out because you're not doing enough for God. You know, you're doing enough for God, getting yourself ready, allowing the Lord to work in you. So that's just what I would have to offer in that respect. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for putting that hunger in Joe. And I thank you, Father, that you're doing a good work in him. And I thank you, Lord, that as he sees these things that are hindrances in his life, yes, and his walk with you, Lord, just like the rest of us, Lord, that we would repent and just change and go ahead and do what we found out in the Word of what the Word of God says about our walk. And Lord, I thank you for that, because that's the essence of the Christian walk. We go forward. We might stumble, but we're stumbling forward. And Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you, Father, for the work you've been in Joe and all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I believe you're going in the right direction, brother. I know you are.
Yep.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Yeah, keep it up, Joe. You're doing good, buddy. Nice to see you back.
Yeah.
Nice to see you back.
It's very good to be back. I'm definitely glad I came back around. So,
amen. Oh, amen.
You know what? We all got to go through our own little whatever until we find, like, hey, I need to get back to where I was at, or I need something else. You know, we all got to go. We all went through it.
Yep.
So it's, if you didn't go through it, you probably wouldn't be lasting long here.
Amen.
You know?
True.
I this morning the Lord gave me Psalm 43 real quick, and I love it because, you know, I was struggling a little bit too. It was a few things at work, and he just reminds you real quick. He says, it's only five passages, and gave me 43:1. He says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why hast thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Then he turns it around. Wait a minute, why am I mourning? Why am I getting worked up over something like this? You know? And he says, Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and thy tabernacle. So that's what we're, you know, get back on track here, you know. Go after the Lord. Quit looking at the world. Quit looking at everything. Just focus on the Word. Focus on Jesus. I need more of that light, you know. Give me some more of your truth. He says, then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, and upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. You know, we often get a little turned around and a little disquieted and a little frustrated sometimes real quick. But, you know, we just got to get, you know, where's our focus? We're getting kind of turned away from the Lord when we're doing that. We're kind of looking at things around us, and we're getting a little agitated and a little upset and whatever's kind of turning us up and thinking, whoa, I didn't want that to happen, or Lord, what's going on, you know? We took our focus off the Lord. We kind of lost our sight that he's there. He just says, whoa, slow down here. Come on, whoa, you know, get your face back on me here a little bit, and we'll get you a little more truth and light and quiet you down, and we'll be okay. You'll be beheaded back my holy mountain. You know, that's all we got to kind of keep track of once in a while.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Hi, Pat.
All right. Amen.
All right. Anybody else? I want to go over something here. I think it'll help everybody. In Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And our words give proof of our heart. We're in the midst of a court. That's in the courtroom of heaven. And we're being judged according to how we speak. Matthew 12:36 again, it says, and I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Idle words can also be translated as unfruitful words. I hear music. Y'all hear music?
Angels singing? You hear that?
Didn't y'all hear the music?
I hear a little background noise.
I wonder if that's something that I've got going here. Yeah. iTunes started up. I can't understand why that happened. Get out of my PC, you demonized thing, you. Come on with that music. I'm thinking that, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm going home, Lord. Okay. Idle words can also be translated as unfruitful words. They're evidence of what's in our heart. And we are in God's courtroom with the devil as our prosecutor, but we're going to see that Jesus is our defense attorney. 1 John 2:1. If any man sin, we have an advocate or a defender with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And just as in any court, words have to do with who's guilty and who's not. And a good example is Job. Mrs. Job chapter 1:6. Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan, which means in Hebrew, accuser or adversary, also came among them. The devil is the prosecuting attorney in this case, Revelation 12:10. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses, to accuse in court, them before our God day and night. The devil is accusing us before God day and night. In Job, that's exactly what he was doing. And that's why he was in the midst of the sons of God, so that he may accuse them. And justice, his name means, if you translate it as such. And the Lord said unto Satan in Job 1:7, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord. You see what Lord did. He baited Satan. Answered the Lord. Then Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And we will see that in Job 1, the Lord sticks up for Job time after time before Satan. And he wants to teach Job a few things, and Job has a few things to learn. But Job is doing what he knows to do. He's walking in the light that he has. And you can't do better than what you know to do. And God understands that. James chapter 4, verse 17. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So Job is not doing what he knows to be sin. 1:8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and turns away from evil. Then answered the Lord. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Well, here we see that the Lord is on Job's side and he sticks up for him. And at the same time, he wants this trial to mature Job, or he wouldn't have brought Job to Satan's attention. Verse 10. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will renounce thee to thy faith. Faith. Satan has the opinion that Job will speak words against God, and it ain't uncommon for Christians to speak words against God at all and to disagree with what his promises and his word clearly states. Job 1:12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of God. Well, as y'all know, he sent four strong judgments against Job. First, what happened was the Sabaeans came and attacked. Then the fire of God fell. And then the Chaldeans attacked. And finally, there was a great wind that smote the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young men in Job 1:19. And Job spoke. Now listen to this. That's what the devil waits for in the midst of trials. He wants us to speak things for which he can accuse us. He wants to prosecute us and prove that what's in our heart is not the kingdom of God. That's what happens when these trials come upon us. These trials are for us to be overcomers and to rejoice when these trials come in, not to murmur and to come against God because of it. Job 1:21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't charge God foolishly. And that's the way we need to be. And I just wanted to bring that out so that we can all remember to set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And when you speak only as an oracle of God, you're bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ. What you speak out of your mouth is what comes out of your heart. And so we all need to, I know I do. I'm learning as I'm going here. But we all need to learn to watch our mouth and not to curse ourselves or our brothers around us. Amen. Has anybody got any comments on that? By the way, that came out of the tongue conquers the curse. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
As you said, and yeah, I mean, of course, I've heard it countless times before. Set a watch you know, what exactly does that word mean, watch? What, I mean, what is the, or I guess, well, I wouldn't say what is the Greek say or the Hebrew, but what exactly does that word mean? It sounds like set a barrier is what it's saying.
No, no, what it means, the word itself tells us, and I can't think of the scripture right now, but it always tells us not to speak, but to listen and to think about what you're saying before you say it. And when you think about what you say before you say it, like I've done most of my life, you know, just shoot from the hip. But we're supposed to think about what we say and then speak as an oracle of God instead of just blasting out, you know. Yeah. I believe that's what it means right there.
Okay. Makes sense.
Because he talks about it later on in the Word of God. Anybody else?
Okay.
Want to help me out here? Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, you also got the term for watchman in the Old Testament, and it refers to the prophets to the degree that they were supposed to warn the people of Israel or give them warning ahead of time. And it's kind of like giving them a heads up. Hey, listen, this is coming. You got this judgment coming because you need to repent or something. Or it's also a watchman in a sense of if there's an enemy coming, and let them know, hey, the enemy's coming. Get prepared. You know, don't get caught. You know, with the enemy just taking you by surprise. So in a sense, also we're using a watch as over our lips to make sure we're not putting ourselves in a position that's going to bring us in a bad light with God, judgment, or a falling, you know, all that idea. So they have that protection there to protect us and stop something from happening that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, here it is. I found. Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll.
Okay. No, you go ahead.
When Joe said set a watch, asked about that, the scripture came to my mind, Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivereth them. And it gives you I was never in the service, but it gives you the idea of a guard, God putting a guard that nothing will come past, like setting up a guard around you, basically. And the interesting thing, when I first, the Lord first showed me that scripture, it was in the context of showing us how to turn away, or just how important it is for us to cooperate with God, because it was, and to confess our sin and be sure to anything that the Lord puts on our heart, confess it, turn from it, and walk in His truth. And the thought that came to me, or the picture that came to me, is that God puts an angel, the Spirit, or the Word around us so that nothing can touch us. But if we allow something in our life, some sort of sin or something that doesn't please God, it's like the devil comes up there and is getting ready to come into our environment. And of course, the angel puts up his hand and says, no, you cannot. This is the child of God. And that devil just turns over there and points at that thing that you have in your life and says, sorry. He allows it in his life. I'm allowed in that environment. It's kind of a general principle that the Lord was giving me. And so I think the same thing applies to our speaking, or speaking when we're not in agreement with God's word. I think probably the same principle applies, that there, if we allow a sinful thought or a sinful way of thinking, or and we know it's not right, but we allow it to persist or to continue to be in our life, then we give allowance to that spirit that is manipulating that or utilizing that for his to take ground in our life. I don't know if that's too many words to get across the point, but that's really how it hit me at that point.
Amen. Amen. I'm reminded of Proverbs 29 and 30. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. And then 21, 23. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Those are all of what we've been talking about today. And then, of course, James chapter 1, verse 19. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, if we'll slow down and give up that impulsive lifestyle that we've been used to, I know I've been used to, we're going to have time for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And our conscience will go ahead and guide us into what we need to say. So that's what we need to do, you know. I'm talking about this, and I'm teaching myself, you know, I have to slow down with my words and not be impulsive with what I say out of the flesh, and hold on to what the Spirit wants me to say. So that's key to speaking as the Spirit wants us to speak. Amen. Anybody else got a good one? Y'all remember the story about Zacharias when the angel came to tell him that his wife was going to have John the Baptist, you know. Zacharias was a preacher boy. And here you got an angel straight from the throne of God, and he's going to talk against him. Well, how am I going to know that? You know, and here's an angel straight from the throne of God. He just shut him up real quick. He did what he wanted, this thing to come to pass. And so he just said, I tell you what, you ain't going to stop from now until John is born. I'm going to shut your mouth for you, boy, because you've been talking the curse against what God has already said, you know. Because God uses our faith, doesn't he? And that's what he had to do. He had to shut that man's mouth up. Sometimes he does that to us, too. Do you ever get up and you're just going to say something, you couldn't think of a thing you're supposed to say? Well, I have many times, you know, supposed to say something. But what was I going to say? Lord just took it right out of your mind because he knew that you're going to speak some kind of curse or something, you know. Praise God. All right, anybody else? You got something? Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Oh, I see him talking, but I don't hear nothing.
I can't remember what it was either. No.
Lord, set the watch for your mouth.
Hey, I was just commenting about how Zachariah there, because it's a good example, because here we got this guy, him and his wife, and his wife's name escapes me right now.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. They're both considered in the scripture to be very righteous and holy people. You know, they were devout, and they were, you know, the Lord recognized that. He had that aura about him. He was a very good man. But when it came for time for faith, after being, like you said, representing God, speaking the things of God to the people, and representing the Lord in the temple, and had all this, you know, everything about him. When it came time for faith, it was like, well, wait a minute. You know, it's like he had a hard time. It was stumbling him. And I think we all can fall on that, can't we? Easily. We can have a lot of knowledge, and we can have a lot of, we're pumped up, and we know the Lord, we know the Word, but all of a sudden it comes time for us to rely on our faith. It's like, you know, we start coming up a little short. That's, you know, and that angel stopped him. He helped him. God, he was a helper at that point. Yeah, I'm going to help you out of here. I'm going to shut you up. You're not going to say a word. I see where you're at, and you're not there yet. You know, so probably a statement we all can take a little humility from.
Amen. Amen. Let's do something right quick. Let me get off of something else. Pearl had posted a while ago that she needed prayer, so if y'all don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and pray for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Pearl, and I thank you for her, Lord. And I command this troublesome spirit off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Any kind of oppressive spirit, I command you to go. Tormenting spirits, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for placing joy and peace and rest in Pearl's heart right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in it. And I thank you, Lord, for complete deliverance of these tormenting spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Okay. All right. Anybody else on? Yeah, go ahead, Pat. I see your lips moving. I don't see nothing. I don't hear nothing.
Sorry there about you that. Go.
That's okay.
That was the Lord protecting you. When we're reading in Job, that first chapter, couple chapters there of Job, I know the thing that struck me was that the absolute physical power that Satan has to destroy life, to destroy, you know, he was able to destroy people by and bringing down the wind and collapsing the house, bringing evil marauders in and killing people and whatever. He has the absolute power that you can't really stand against. Let me rephrase that. You can't. If it was between you and the devil or me and the devil, I wouldn't be able to stand up against that type of power. There's no way you could even defend against it since he's invisible. He could take you out with a punch and you would never even know it. The only thing that restrains him is God's word. He can't do anything unless he has that permission. And that was the thing that really set me free in those verses and that story there with Job, is that God is sovereign. And if it's simply because of his word over you that he has translated you out of that kingdom, and the devil cannot touch you in any form. And if he is in any form touching you, you know that it's because God has allowed that process to happen. And it's for your good purpose. It's for a good purpose in your life. And I know that David, the whole Sovereign God book is based upon that foundation. And it is so comforting to know that you don't have to, that you are held in this place of safety by God's word, and that you And that's how you navigate through this kingdom. And how he wants us to navigate through this kingdom is by his word and according to his word. And so I'm encouraged every time I read that Job and that story, that it just focuses me back upon our protection and our place, our position in Christ, and our being in that secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91, where we can't be touched. And so I guess that's all I had to say.
Amen. That's exactly right. God's given us the authority to listen. The devil has no defense against us. The only defense he has, the only offense or defense he has against us is if we allow it. That's it. If we allow the devil to come in and to wreak havoc in our life, it's because we've allowed it. Because God says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, I'm going to paraphrase, he's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And so that's all we have to do. That's all we need to know. And just like Pat was talking about, everything that happens in our life is for a reason. And we're to rejoice, just like we talked about a while ago. We're to rejoice in the valleys. We're to rejoice on the hilltop. In other words, when the things are bad, we're to rejoice God, just like Job did. Now, that is a good analogy, is Job, of what he did. How he acted when all that stuff happened to him. Anybody else? You look like you're in deep thought there, Andrew.
No, I just finished reading something from one of the books that I'm studying. Talks about when you get angry over something, that you're actually getting angry with God, because he's sovereign over all things that happen in your life anyway. And it's on page 144 of, I forget the title of the book, DP. It's the abbreviation.
What is it? DFDP?
Yeah. What book is that? It's the 400 page book anyway. And, you think about it and you're not supposed to be, getting angry over anything that happens to you, whether good or bad. Just like Job, when he said that word, naked I came into this world, naked I go out. Can we receive good from God and not evil? You see, and that's nothing he say there was wrong about God sending, because just in the verses before that, he actually sent the devil to come against Job. But Job didn't say anything wrong about what transpired, even though he lost quite a bit in those four perils there. And the tongue will really destroy you, and that's why in James chapter 3, the whole chapter is there. And I've been just jotting quite a few verses down. Jesus had something to say also in the book of Mark about chapter 7, the first 23 verses there on what comes out of a man's mouth is what defiles a man, not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. And of course, he was talking about to the Pharisees on why they didn't wash their hands before they ate, because it was sort of a custom or rule that they had. And well, you know, that's there could be some parallel there, though, that you know, the works of your hands should be the mind of Christ in your head. You know, you can't let your hands do something against the mind of Christ that Christ wants to put in your mind too. You know, just like Revelation 13:16 has a lot to do with Exodus 13:16. You know, those words that are supposed to be in your mind is supposed to be in accordance to the name called the Word of God, which Jesus is, because we receive Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. So that name called the Word of God is got a lot to do with what it says also in John chapter 1, the first four verses. That's, you know, I mentioned a long time ago about having a dictionary and then having a Bible. And I wrote down like 70 so far words, and I don't think I repeated any of them, on what these words mean in comparison between those two books. Just for instance, the word kingdom, you know, if you look that up in a dictionary, and then you get that story about Jesus when he's with the rich merchant, you got two completely definitions for that word kingdom. He even says the kingdom's within you, and the kingdom is nigh you when something happens. But if you look it up in a dictionary, you know, it's going to talk about a government, you know. And if you look up the word for the word, like I just mentioned in John chapter 1, who is the word, you know, and what word should we only have, you know? And if we have Christ in us, then it is in accordance to Revelation 19:13. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Yes, Jesus is the name called the Word of God, but we fit somewhere in there as a younger person of Jesus, the name called the Word of God too, because we call upon his name. So we want that nature, character, and authority of Christ. And Jesus is our kind of older brother at the same time, you know, measured with glory. You know, he was in his 30s, and he had the most glory of all that was on earth and ever, I think, in a man that had glory. And glory is a measure of how much fruit you have in you, because you're not measured with how old you are time-wise, but how much glory you have. And glory, if you have 30-fold fruit, you shine like the star. And that's how much light emanates from you. Because, and that's how old you are. You know, you could be a 50, but only, you know, you might have 55 glory from the fruit you have or something like that. But to attain more fruit in Christ, it doesn't happen time-wise, because Jesus was only 30 years old when he attained the amount of sun glory he had, you know. So glory is another one, you know. Glory is light, and it would be very different to look in a dictionary when it talks about light, and when you look at glory or light in the Bible. And Anyway, you know, I just look at some of these listed words that I have here and, you know, just trying to think what they actually do mean, you know, instead of, you look at some of these like word, spirit, life, mind, epistle or letter, light and glory, faith, body, hope, Lord, baptism, God, you know, and is those definitions in the dictionary a reference compared to what it's actually saying in the Word of God about those definitions? So that's something, you know, that if you find yourself trying to exercise on this, then I'd say you'd be getting a lot of the spirit of the word in you. Because man looks at things one way, but the Lord looks at it another way. And any one of these words here, we could do a whole discussion for an hour on, you know, because there's so many different references in the Bible for that word. It's very different from the way just a man would think, I find anyway. And this is why you got to watch what your tongue says. And I also, you know, I've been studying about vanity and what the actually, I ran into a verse here in 1 Corinthians on what the Lord thinks is vain. And it's 1 Corinthians 3:19, 20, and 21, you know. And when this wisdom guy here is out of the other lamp, not the lamp of God that's in you, but it's the old lamp, it's the lamp of the wicked, and it one of the lights there is this wisdom and what God thinks of it. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You know, I don't think he you know, the space shuttle, I don't think he really thinks that's all great, you know. Like, what benefit is it going to give them to get to the real heaven? You know, they can go pretty high up into the heavens, into the second heaven, but it's not going to get them to heaven. For it is written, who taketh the wise in their craftiness? And again, the Lord knoweth the reasoning of the wise, that they are vain and for no reason. And this wise is the opposing wise to the wisdom of God, which is the good judgment in your lamp. You know, the lamp that's written of in Isaiah 11:1-2 gives you all the different lights that are supposed to be within your temple. And one of them is wisdom and understanding and knowledge. But there's an opposing lamp of the old man that has to be put out there. And it has this wisdom here that God just spoke about. And that's why it says all is vanity in another verse. And I just was trying to collate that for the longest time and how the tongue needs to be exercised for sweetness. Anyway, it's still a little bit of an ongoing study for me, and we are discussing stuff that do come out of our mouths, and I just found that one there about getting angry, and you never really associate it that you're getting angry with God when you get angry, and there's no reason for it. That he actually uses an example in the book there that if you have a dog and he does a mess somewhere in your place, there's no reason why you get angry over that, because the dog doesn't understand. He's just being a dog, or he also uses a toddler. You don't get angry with a toddler if they're going to fall when they start walking, because that's what toddlers do. And he expresses that that anger, there's no reason for it. And of course, it'll just set your tongue going off in the wrong direction, speaking bitterness instead of the sweetness that's supposed to be there in James chapter 3. So there's a book there that I even think they're studying. And I was just getting some of these verses, and I'm not even in that book. I'm still trying to go through some of the other books. And of course, I don't want to slack off on my Bible reading either. So anyways, praise God.
What is that, Pat? Delivered from dark powers, I believe, is what he's got down there for what you were in earlier. I think you mentioned it. Yeah.
It was about one page 140, 144. It, like, even if you just were to read those four pages, you'd be amazed on what it says there.
We can read them.
I don't know how to do that on my computer.
What happened here? Okay, you say 140?
Yeah, 140 to 144, like 140, where it's talking Romans 8. Well, actually, 144. Yeah. To 148, sorry. Where it's talking about Romans 8 and 8 on page 144.
That's got to be a better way to do that. Uh-huh. 144, you say?
Yeah. 8 and 8, Romans.
Okay. 8:28. Romans 8:28.
8 and 8, I think it was.
Oh.
There's okay. There's a passage in there, a scripture verse he's quoting. I hope I wrote it down right.
Yeah. Well, I say Romans 8 and 28.
Maybe it is 8 and 28. Let me just see if I can.
And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4 and 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Yea, with all thy getting, get understanding. The more understanding you get, the less anger you're going to have. Then he quotes Romans 8 and 28. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. If you believe that all things work together for good to those who love God, then you're not going to be angry at situations. You're not going to be angry at your circumstances. Did you want me to read how far?
Well, it would just be to the end of that thought there, because there's a prayer.
Okay. Yeah. If you believe that all things work together for good to those who love God, then you're not going to be angry at situations. You're not going to be angry at your circumstances. If my dog came into this room right now and did something that dogs do, it would be foolish for me to become angry at that dog, because he's a dog, and he ain't going to do anything different than what dogs do. He's a dog. He can't be anything different. When your children are toddlers and they stumble and fall, you don't become angry with them, because that's what children do. Children stumble and fall. Life is this way. So it would make sense for you to get angry at the devil for doing what he normally does. I'm sorry, that's a question. So would it make sense for you to get angry at the devil for doing what he normally does? That would be a waste of time. He's the devil. He does what he was created to do. And hence demons do what they were created to do. Everything that happens around us has a purpose, because God is sovereign. Don't become angry about anything that happens around you, because if you're angry at circumstances around you, you are angry at God. He is the one who ordained the circumstances around you. He is the sovereign God. Ephesians 1, verse 11, who works all things after the counsel of his will. And we read that in John 3 and 27, that a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. Do you believe this? If it comes from heaven and you become angry, then you are being angry at God. Don't claim that anger from your lust of the flesh. Is righteous indignation. That's just baloney. Be at peace. God doesn't want you to have anger. He wants you to have and to be at peace. And then here's the prayer. Father, I'm convicted from what I just read. I still get angry at situations, but I never understood until now that this was really being angry with you. Please forgive me. Change me and have mercy on me. If there is a spirit behind the anger, I command it to leave in Jesus' name. I do not want to ever be angry with you again. Thank you for doing whatever needs done to free me from accusing you or feeling angry with you. Amen. That's a good prayer. Amen. Is that it? That's pretty solid right there, isn't it? That's a solid piece of word there. Amen. And I believe that's pretty much what God. That's the thing. The whole thing is God is sovereign. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. God is sovereign. If you understand what sovereignty is, then you understand that everything that happens in your life is for a reason. When bad things happen, I always think this way. When something bad happens to me, there's two things that I need to do. One of them, first, is to see if there's sin in my life so I can repent of it and get back on track, or it's a test of my faith. That's the two things that I see happening in my life. And if somebody got something different than that, that's fine, but that's what I see. It's either a test of my faith, or it's God trying to get my attention because of some sin. Amen. Amen. Hey, Pearl, are you feeling good?
What do you say?
Amen.
What do you say? I'm sorry.
Do what, Pearl?
What did you say? Did you call my name?
Yeah, I said, how you feeling there?
I'm okay. I mean, I'm still kind of going through situation, but I'm kind of being comforted a little bit.
Okay. This helping you?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else on speaking or what we've been talking about here? You know, this book that we've been, I say this every time we go through one of these books, I say this is the best one, you know, while we're going through it, because it's got all these books have so much information. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Anybody know what that means? Proverbs 18:21. Yeah. The tongue has the power to give life. But we're speaking like God, we're keeping his commandments, aren't we?
You know, you just got to be sweet to yourself sometimes, too.
Amen.
Sometimes you're not forgiving yourself. You know, you just got to be sweet to yourself and know that God's on your side for this. He wants to give you this glory. He wants to give you this little piece of this glory so that it can attain fruit in you and you could be more mature. There's nothing good in that other lamp of the wicked, the lamp of darkness. It's something that it has to be put out. It's just not needed, and it's hard sometimes to do. You know, God might actually want you to learn to have authority over that and do it. And he might leave this little thing in you so that he can, you know, to do an analogy like I was taught here, he's gonna wound that so that you can pounce on it like a lion cub would pounce on something when the devil has no armor. You know, that's you have the armor of God, and you're going to be able to pounce on that and take care of it. He wants you to overcome this. He wants us to learn how to overcome these things. And it's sometimes very difficult to go through that process. And sometimes it's just even difficult to know what he's trying to show us or what he's doing with us. He wants us to focus on this glory that he's sending forth out of him to be in us. Anyway.
Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Pat.
Michael, I was just thinking, when you read that, where was it? Life is this way, back in the darkness, what we're reading there, from the darkness. I'm looking, delivered from darkness. Said, life is this way. So would it make sense for you to get angry at the devil for doing what he normally does? That would be a waste of time. He's the devil. He does what he was created to do. And I was thinking of that scripture the passages in Romans 6. Actually, the verse that I was thinking is even so reckon in 6:11. Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ. And I was correlating the words that we were reading out of the book there and placing the flesh in the place of the devil. And it's like life, would it be angry? Would it make sense for us to get angry at the flesh for doing what the flesh normally does? That would be a waste of time. The flesh, for that is the flesh. The flesh does what it was created to do. And the demons do what they were created to do. Everything that happens to us has a purpose because God is sovereign. And when you read that verse in 6:11, it says, even so reckon ye also yourselves. When you look at it says, reckon ye also, and you look up and see what it's connected to, it says in 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. And I'm seeing also that body of sin within this flesh might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he liveth unto God. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it no less. But I guess I was just making that connection. It seems like, I don't know if that's a focus with me or that God, I don't know how it must be a focus with me that even when we were going through Psalm 37, that it was connected that the wicked verses in that psalm that refer to the wicked as the flesh, as this carnal perspective that we pack around. And I just pray God opens up all of our eyes, my eyes, to be able to rest in that reckoning of that carnal life. I guess there's a connection, some sort of a connection that I'm not making in that specific thing. And I don't know if it's a weakness of faith, or if it's ignorance, or if I'm not seeing something exactly the way God meant us to see it. But I feel that it's that I have to be able to perceive and see and walk and rest in that truth, that this whole sin nature has been killed, and for me to reckon myself just like Jesus did, that he died once, he's not dealing with it anymore, he's living unto God. And there's, I don't know if it's, if there, something is missing in the connection there I'm seeing within me, whether it's understanding or whether it's faith or whether it's all of it or what. But it just keeps coming back at me as I see these things in the connection, that I have to be, or we have to be, separated. And I guess, what is, I guess, is that sanctification? Is that perfectness? Is that the total sanctification that David is talking about? Is that that place of the secret place of the Most High that we need to be in? Is that the place where we reckon everything, all sin completely, that we are dead indeed to that sin and alive unto God? I don't know. If it, to me, it's there's a connection that's not, all the synapses aren't making, aren't firing here or something. I'm not quite sure if I'm being clear or if I'm rambling here, but there's a connection there that maybe it's a filling of the Holy Spirit, or maybe it's the second touch or the baptism of the Spirit or whatever it would be. But I feel the need to be resting the way those verses are describing I should be resting, and I feel as though I am not there. So I don't know if that's a confession or what. But
okay. All right, let's see what Denny's got. I see he looks like he's ready to tell us something here. Go ahead, Denny.
Yes, amen. Yeah, Pat, that's you have to trust that work has already been done, and that's where your faith has to rest in, that it's already been done. And then when you are tested or tempted, you can remind God, just no, dead men don't sin. And you're trusting and you're waiting for God. God does that work in you. It's by his grace, you know, that he does the work within you. It's the, you know, the Father does the work within you so that Christ can dwell in you. And so it's his working in you while you're waiting upon him. It may take a little time and a little process, but that process, it will happen, because that's where your faith is. Your trust is in that has already been accomplished. And then you rest in that, and then you begin walking in victory. You begin overcoming, you know, just over and over, you overcome. You just, and it's because that life is in you. That's the rest. That's the trust. You're right on the right track. God is going to do it. He has done it in you already. Just trust him for that. Thank you, Jesus.
That takes, yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Well, first we hear about how the process is and what we're supposed to be looking at, like Denny's talking about and what Pat's talking about. But then he gives us our opportunity. He gives us our trial. I can tell you the trial I went through the last week or so, and it's a couple of them, and it's enough just to, you know, it's how he can get you to get into the rest. And he'll first give you a circumstance that's going to get you out of the rest, right? He's got to give you that. He's got to make you experience not being in the rest, where your flesh is going to come out and you're going to think, well, I'm blowing it, but all right. You know, you move on, you recompose. In my circumstances, we had his van, and the neighbor came over and says, "Hey, both your taillights are out on the van." And I just got back from work. I was kind of a little tired, and I thought, man, it's the last thing I want to do. But if I don't take care of it now, I got to get this done. Got to get, you know, you can't leave the taillights out. So I start digging into it and figuring out how to get the lights off in the back and get the, found that, the nuts. So I take them off, take the first one off. Sure enough, get it all apart, figure out how to get it off, get the whole assembly out. You're getting the ball wrenched out. Look at, oh, sure enough, yeah, it's bad. That's all it is. This is bad ball. I'm sure it's the other way too. About that time, I'm thinking, oh, where did I set those nuts at? I just took that ball, the whole assembly out. And I'm at home. I'm not at work. At work, I have a, I put everything just right. You know, I get everything. I'm used to doing things. Here, I'm just jumping into it. And, oh, where did I put those two nuts? Sure enough, and they're black. And I'm in a dark, in the garage. It's kind of dark. I can't find them. I'm looking all over the place. And my wife says, we got a flashlight around your back. And she says, yeah, well, you know, here, I'm going to save this for your birthday. Here, you get a flashlight. Look, what are you looking for? I told her, I'm looking for these darts. I'm not, so I can't find them. I said, I just set them down. I usually set things down right here. I'm getting kind of worked up, you know. I don't know where I put these things. I'm getting frustrated. And I know, ah, oh, man, it's a Sunday. Get close in, you know, 5 o'clock, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to go. Finally, I said, I'm done with this. I'm done. I'm not looking anymore. I'm just going to run to the hardware store real quick, see if I can find something that'll work. So I go up there. Sure enough, they got some, you know, OEM stuff, similar works, and just a little cheaper nut. I bought them $3.19, no big deal. You know, it's like I get all upset for $3.19, right, basically. Come home, get it in place. Get everything back together, put the bulbs in. Everything's working fine. But, you know, the whole point was, here I'm getting worked up. I'm getting a little mad at myself, thinking, why did I do this? Where's my head at? You know, you get in this kind of that mind frame, and you're just kind of going with it. But you get your composure back. You think, you know, okay, put this back in perspective. You know, just keep moving on, get it done. So what happens today? Today I'm thinking, well, I got the tonight I want to get on conference call, so I want to get a nap in, but I got to go out in the yard, got to clean up the yard a little bit, got some get some dandelions out. I'll do that real quick. And my son's birthday. All this is happening tonight. So, all right, so I'm planning out, I'm in the yard doing my thing, and my son pulls up in his car. Hey, Dad, my brake lights won't go out. Man, I don't want to deal with this right now. But, you know, I can't have the brake lights on. The battery's going to go dead. But I'm thinking in my head, you know, okay, or don't get all raced up here. Oh, this kind of, you know, my brain's ramping up, but my mouth is staying quiet. You know, I'm keeping my tongue. I get my composure. I go grab the Hayes book. I'm looking through it because I thought, I'm not taking this to get this fixed. I can do this. Let me look this over real quick. Got to be something. I go through, oh, it's just got this relay. Where's this relay at, the switch? So I'm starting to think like I should be thinking. I'm working through the problem. Sure enough, I find the problem, and I end up having to do a cheap man's repair to get it to work, but I got it fixed. But the whole point was, God, he gave me this second opportunity to go through it. Are you going to stay in the rest this time, or are you going to get all worked up because I'm putting you under pressure, and you're kind of putting yourself there. But how are you walking in the rest? How are you walking in faith? And I'm like Michael. He said, oh, first of all, these bad things happening, do you examine yourself? Are you in sin? Is there something else going on in life? Why are these things happening? It's like, no, I'm not in sin. I'm not this. It's not. That's okay. It's just going through this and going through the trial and keep my composure. And once I got through this, I was in the rest. I got it all fixed. You know, I didn't lose my person, who I am. We got through everything, son's birthday, I'm on a conference call, got my nap in so I could be on here. But it's, you know, we talk about being going through sanctification in the process and coming in the image of Christ. Well, there has to be walked out, and the way it's walked out, he has to put us through the trials. He has to give us those circumstances where first we might fail, but the second time we had a chance to think about it. He'll do it fast enough. Within times that you remember, hey, a mistake I made before, I don't want to repeat that. But you still are examining everything, and you're not, he's doing it for the growth. He's doing it to get you to grow through things. No matter what the circumstance is, how minute or whatever it might be, he's going to have you go through it in order to help you pull you through to get you there and to get you where he needs you to be in that rest.
Amen. You're going to find those nuts tomorrow.
I'm waiting to find them. I think it's probably going to be about the fall. And I think, that's where I put them. They're going to go in the jar and I'll forget I have them.
Amen. Amen. I've never done that. Now I got to repent. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, you get frustrated. But I've learned to do something, Dave, just here in the last year or so, and that is, Lord, I can't find them. You're going to help me. Put them where I can see them. And he's doing it. He's doing it every time.
I did that too, but I think this was a time he wanted me to see, hey, listen, you are losing your cool on this, and now you're going to have to sit there, and I want you to revisit this again on another circumstance where you're pressed, but you have to maintain it and not let things get worked up, keep it inside and bring it back down and come back into the rest. He wanted me to go through that.
Amen. All right. Yeah, these circumstances come up for a reason. And we need to rejoice when they come. I know sometimes it's hard. That anger is what Andrea was talking about in that destructive demon, dark powers or whatever it is. That really takes it and puts it in a different perspective. When you get angry, you're getting angry at God. Why do we stress out on this stuff, you know?
Yeah, those nuts became those dumb nuts, you know, you're mad at them.
Yeah, stupid nuts, where'd they go, you know? Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I barked my shin on the trailer hitch on my truck here a while back. Felt real good. I tell you, but I've learned to do this too. And I'm just learning this stuff myself, you know. I've learned to thank Jesus. I just scream it as loud as I can. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. And it keeps you from cursing. Just thank you, Jesus. You know, and then it goes away pretty quick, most of the time. I know none of y'all have ever barked your shin on a trailer hitch on your truck. Yeah, I know. But anyway, yeah, we're all learning. We're learning this this Christian walk, and it's interesting, and it's trying at times. But when we learn to put it in perspective like we've been talking about tonight, it makes it a lot easier, don't it? When we understand that God's got us in his hands, and ain't none of those circumstances that come up is out of his control. And we understand that. Yeah, Pat?
Yeah, I was just, it certainly put your perspective on God in that particular time. That was one thing I want to just ask here before we leave, is would Joe be able to give us South Africa, be able to give us an update as to what is happening in there now? Down there?
About the political situation is there's so much going on in the parliament. There's so much what you're calling, in-house fighting with each other and not really getting issues for the people, because there's a lot of protest and burning and
division,
I think it's among themselves. It's so much as we're not getting to the issues. We're just, I think it's, if you ask me, it's all for themselves. It's not for the country. It's just for what can I get out of this and what can I do about this. It's every day there's some strikes and some burning, and it's a bad situation. So I'm just staying out of the news. I'm just going to work and come back. That's all I'm doing, but it's all negative. It's getting very, very negative.
I mean, Joe, we're talking about the political situation in South Africa. Pat had asked him about what's going on there. They've got the same thing that we've got going here, 10 times more in South Africa. It's really terrible what's going on. They've got the factious. It's a factious bunch of people that are, just like you said, they're all out for themselves. And it's kind of like it is here with the liberals. The liberals are not out for anything other than what they can. And you know what's so sad is you can ask the liberal, what is it you want? And they can't tell you. They cannot tell you. But anyway, yeah, it's been bad, and we've been praying for South Africa, political situation there. Lord, I thank you that you're going to fix all this stuff. Red Sea is coming up, taking over. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight?
Yeah, I do, Michael.
Yes, sir.
It's mainly, it's the same thing, but in our country, I wasn't sure whether everybody was aware of what's going on in our capital with the Bible study that's going on. They have a weekly Bible study, and I guess there's about 50 members of our, I've been checking it up. If you check out on Capital Ministries on the internet, and you'll find out what's going on, or you could look up Presidential Cabinet Bible Study. At first, it was just for anybody in the Congress, I guess, and then I think they started in 2010, but in 2016, then they had one just for the Senate, and now they have one just for the Cabinet. And so they have like two or three. It's on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And it's pretty interesting what's going on there. I'm going to try to look at my notes here. There's the guy who's teaching it. It was a former basketball player. He's a 7'2" guy that out of high school, he got saved when he was a senior. And then he went to the University of California. Of course, the pros wanted him, but he turned down three offers from the pros 3 years in a row, and said he went with Athletes in Action, which is a Christian-based team that travels around playing against college teams, and then they share their testimony at halftime. And let me see. But eventually he did play for the Dallas Mavericks in 1980, but then he really turned to politics in 1996. But when he was a senior in high school, he was invited by some of the cheerleaders over for a Bible study, and they went over, and he said when he left there, he was a different person, and he just all of a sudden he had a real craving for the Word. But now, anyway, Capital Ministries is in 43 U.S. state capitals. They have Bible studies there, and in more than 20 legislative boards. But there's tremendous excitement going on right now in our nation. Through this Bible study, let me see. Right now, like he said, that Trump has started appointing to that all the guys that were in the House and Senate Bible studies, says Grullinger, a trend that he attributes to Vice President Mike Pence, who knew these guys, and he knows that they're all strong believers. So Pence is having an influence on the decision making. And so, I mean, it's like Jeff Sessions is in there. Of course, Mike Pence, Mike Pompeo, Betsy DeMoss, the education secretary, Ben Carson, Rick Perry, Tom Price, who's a former health secretary, Sonny Perdue, the agricultural, Alex Acosta, the secretary of agriculture, of labor now. But anyway, they've got such an excitement, he's saying, on studying the word, that it's having an impact on the whole cabinet, and it's going to really impact our nation. But to keep them in prayer, so they're starting to come under fire a little bit with some groups that are realizing what's going on. Of course, they want to say it's, you know, separation of church and state, and they shouldn't be having this. But that is going on, and he said it's really an awesome. He said there is just such an attitude and a climate among the cabinet members in there when they get together, and they get together a lot for prayer, and they're always praying every day. They're praying, and it's pretty exciting. That's what's going on in our country. So,
amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Benny, before you leave, why don't you go ahead and close us out in prayer? Then?
Okay. Thank you, Father. And Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what is going on in our nation there, among our leaders and that, and we pray that you would protect this Bible study. It comes under attack. And Lord, one request that he did make was that they could begin having it in the actual White House where the president and vice president are. Right now they're in another building. And because it takes a lot of security to go back and forth, clearances that sometimes Trump can't make it. He might stop in once in a while or the vice president. But all the other ones are usually who's ever in town, they make this Bible study. They're really excited about it. So we thank you, God, what you're doing in our country, and continue it, Lord. We want your word to be the basis of the governance of our nation. We thank you for what you're doing, God. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you for the meeting tonight, and I ask your blessing upon all the ones who shared, and we're so grateful to you, what you're doing in our lives. And we just thank you. We just love you, Lord, and ask you, your blessing and protection upon us throughout this weekend coming up here. We just thank you now and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good night, y'all. God bless you.
Good night, everybody.